السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Assalamualaikum.
We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we thank Him. And we bear witness there is no deity except Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon Him, His companions, His household and those who follow Him until the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most wise. We are still exploring the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most wise. And the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should translate our lack of understanding of the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into wondering about it, not questioning it. One of the things that we always question the wisdom of is the issue of halal and haram, do's and don'ts. This issue in particular, sometimes Allah mentions the wisdom explicitly, and sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves us to wonder about the wisdom and to discover the wisdom. And that's also a test that whether we understand the wisdom or don't understand the wisdom, we're going to follow the do's and don'ts, or we are going to say, well, I don't understand the wisdom, so I don't know why Allah said that, so I'm not going to do it. So the halal and haram, once you start thinking about it, you will discover the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, the most recent question that I heard from one of the girls, she said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that when the hair grows on my body, it's going to make me ugly, then why did he make the hair grow in my body? And the answer is that Allah will make things grow in your body that you don't need, and then He requires you to remove them as a test. For example, circumcision. You know, Allah creates us uncircumcised and then He commands us to circumcise. Allah creates our nails to grow and then He commands us to trim our nails. And so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates our mustache and beards to grow and then He said, the mustache, cut it, the beard, let it grow. On the tongue of His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so forth. The issues also, the issue of wisdom, of questioning the wisdom of Allah, has mentioned in the Quran in another occasion in the issue of riba, that the non-believers, the bad guys, said, well, the riba is just a business. And you guys say nothing wrong with business. So what is wrong with riba? You know, it's just collecting a profit for investing your money. You pay $1,000, you get $1,000, you get $1,100. That's business. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this particular issue, He said, He replied a reply that shows His greatness. He said, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. You guys say, business is like riba? No, they are not the same. I made the business halal, I made the riba haram. And then He stopped. He didn't mention why. He could have gone into the details of financing and explaining, but He left it for us to discover. And if He would go into the details of financing, we wouldn't be able to understand it, or at least the Arabs on the back, you know, they won't be able to understand it. Later on, we discovered, you know, from the people who do financing, that the equation of riba is different than the equation of business. The equation of riba is buying money with money. The equation of business is to buy money with a product. I'm sorry, it's to pay money and get a product. So the equation comes like that. Of riba, $100 plus 1 year equals to 110. So $100 plus 1 year equals 110. This is riba nasi'ah, where you pay $100 now and you collect them 110 after 1 year. The equation of business is $100 plus work equals to 110. So in the first equation, the extra $10 came out of the time. So $100 plus 1 year equals to 110. This extra $10 came out of time. But in the equation of work or business, that extra $10 came because of work. So the first equation causes inflation. Why? Because the $10 were generated because of the time. But in the second equation, the extra $10 were generated because of the work. So there will be no inflation. because that $10 came from work. So the $100 worth today will be the same of the $100 worth tomorrow. But when it is coming, the $10 coming out of time, it causes inflation because the power of the purchasing power of the $100 today will be equal to the purchasing power of the $110 after 1 year. So Allah could have explained it, but who's going to understand it at that time? So Allah replied the reply with greatness. I made this halal, I made this haram. And other issues like the issue of the hijab, for example, there are three ayat in the Quran that makes the hijab mandatory. One of the ayat, Allah says, يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِمْ. They should wear jilbab and make it tall. And Allah literally mentioned jilbab. Jilbab is a perfectly understandable Arabic language that means a wide dress that extends all the way so down. And then Allah says, I want jilbab that is tall enough to cover all the legs. Jilbab, literally, or jilbab, or whatever is equivalent to jilbab, whatever does what the jilbab does. And then Allah mentioned the wisdom, لِكَيْ يُعْرَفْنَ فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ, so that they will be known and not to be harmed. Because once they wear that, they are telling everybody else, we are righteous women, we are righteous girls. When you talk to us, watch your words. When you approach us, watch your intentions. And this guarantees, in a sense, it guarantees that the person who's approaching them is approaching them for serious business, for decent business. If somebody is interested into indecent business, you're not going to go after a girl with hijab. You're going to go after a girl with shorts. But if somebody is approaching them, they will be, you know, some kind of guarantee that he's approaching them for serious business. Then this is why Allah said, لِكَيْ يُعْرَفْنَ فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ, so that they will be known to be women of righteousness, and it is much less likely that will be harmed than other kind of women. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the other verse where he says that, I want a khimar, يَضْرِبْنَا بِخُبُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جِيُوبِهِنَّ. Allah literally mentioned khimar, which is another perfectly understandable Arabic language that means cover of the hair. Khimar bikhumurihinna ala jiyubihin. So Allah wants a big khimar that covers the chest area here. So literally, khimar or whatever is equivalent to khimar, and jilbab and whatever is equivalent to jilbab. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that the intention is to cover the beauty, because the beauty or the feminine part of a female is private for the husband, for promoting the family life. It's not for public display. It's not to be used in business. Islam prohibits the use of feminine part of a female into business or propagate indecent business or propagate indecent temptations. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to cover the beauty and make it private. And this is, by the way, fits with the nature, because, you know, there are women who, when they are treated because, or when they are appreciated because of a feminine part, they get angry. They say, you know, why are you saying that? I mean, it's because I am talented, it's because I'm smart, it's because I have worked hard, you should appreciate me. Don't appreciate me because I'm cute. It's, you know, this is not why I'm appreciated. There was a TV news reporter that received an award because she's intelligent and hardworking. Her co-workers, the men, they were very jealous. So they wanted to put her down. So they came out on TV and say, she is smart, she is intelligent, and she is S-E-X-Y. She is S-E-X-Y. And that's why she got the award. She got very mad and she said, don't use that last part, because this is not why I got the award. I didn't use that part. I didn't use this part. I used my intelligence. And if you think about it, if you look at me now, look at the hijab. The hijab does like this. Highlights the brain. Highlights the intelligence. It's like, look here. Look here. Don't look anywhere else. Anywhere else is none of your business. Here
look to my talent, look at my professional experience, look at my hard work here. Don't look anywhere else. This is none of your business. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't approach adultery, He didn't say, don't do adultery. He said, don't approach it. Why? Because once you approach it, you reach to a level where it has to happen. You can't allow, girls to propagate indecent temptations using their clothes. And then they can date. And then they can be alone. And then they can go out. And then when they are about to commit the sin, we say, no, don't do it. At that point, it is impossible to stop. Because you're going high speed to the edge of the cliff, you cannot break suddenly. Allah from the beginning put so many lines of defense. One line of defense, a second line of defense. Because by the time you cross a couple of lines of defense, you're not going to reach to the edge of the cliff. The first line of defense is shyness of, women. The second line of defense, men has to lower their gaze. No, don't look. And the third line of defense, girls wear hijab. The fourth line of defense, you cannot be alone together. Even if you are teaching her Quran, you cannot be alone. There has to be a third person. And by the time, this is why in our countries, adultery is very difficult. There will be no girl that will give herself up to a boy like that. It's not going to happen. Why? Because by the time you cross, of course, what I mean, the majority. You can find exceptions, but the majority is like that. Because by the time you cross a couple of lines of defense, you're not going to reach to the edge of the cliff. And you can see the wisdom. By thinking about that, you discover the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, we continue exploring the wisdom of Allah in the issues of halal and haram as we speak on Sunday, inshallah. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا.